What's up, fams? Dr. O here talking about the Supreme Court ruling, and once again, the Supreme Court has shown that it is destined to take America backwards. As Mike Pence said in Ukraine, the Supreme Court that he helped bring in has, in his terms, brought us back. He used the term back because this is what this Supreme Court wants to do. On areas relating to democracy, they've been somewhat progressive, and people have applauded their decisions as it relates to some of the aspects of what they did in terms of Louisiana and voting rights there and redistricting and things like that. But we'll see what else happens as it relates to their future rulings. But this Supreme Court is very clear on where it stands on social policies and civil rights. They don't care for them as it relates to affirmative action, as it relates to Roe v. Wade, a woman's right to choose. The list goes on. And we're going to see what's going to happen as it relates to student loans as well. But really, this court, it's been less than 1% of laws that have been ushered in by the Supreme Court that have been overturned. And this Supreme Court is already responsible for two of them in the last 2 years. And we know that there's going to be more to come. Yes, people say elections have consequences, but also trickery and shadiness and power grabs have consequences as well, because we can think about Mitch McConnell denying Merrick Garland a hearing, and the list goes on and on as it relates to that. But let's talk about the students at the end of the day, and let's talk about our companies, our businesses, our organizations. As Sherm has reported, organizations dealing with human resources, companies are more successful when they are more diverse. And with the Supreme Court and Republicans working hard to limit the diversity pool in so many different ways, shapes, and forms, we can see what's happening in Florida with DeSantis and his fight against diversity. We can see what's happening in Wisconsin, where Republicans there are looking to remove funding from the Wisconsin university system if they don't get rid of their DEI programs, as well as possibly get rid of about 200 professors or so. These are some of the issues that I talk about in my book, Lies About Black People, in terms of the history of affirmative action and why it's important to understand why rulings like this matter. Because really, at the end of the day, in the fight to preserve whiteness, in the fight to preserve white cisgendered male domination and power, the Supreme Court has shown that it is going to be an ally in that cause. And when you look at I speak at schools across the country, K to 12 schools, I'm seeing in these high schools, kids are already being fearful of applying to these PWIs, predominantly white institutions, because of what was happening under the Trump administration. And some of these campuses started to become hostile. And then you see the rise of hate crimes, and you started to see an increase in applications towards HBCUs, because even many parents are like, you're not going to mess with some of these other schools, you're going to go to an HBCU. And I started to see that type of fear. But now in these schools, I know when I'm traveling, I'm going to see even more of a concern, because people are going to feel like they may not even need to apply. When you look at what happened in USC and how rates of Black and Latino admission dropped by 50%, or over after they got rid of affirmative action. Some schools in that system started to make that up after time, but that went with a lot of rigorous effort to try to recruit Black and brown students. But other schools within the USC system have not fully recovered. Is this was going to be the case of Harvard? And when we get to places like UNC, this is a university which is public. This is tax-funded dollars. Everyone's paying their taxes equally as it relates to where they live in North Carolina, right? But there's not going to be equal proportion of representation in the college there because of the policies that are going to happen. This is the time where all communities, organizations, and individuals, because we know that businesses and corporations are also, Apple and other organizations might signed on to this brief that talked about how they did not want this decision to go this way, because they know that there are going to be court cases and other litigation that's going to be coming their way as well. And one of the things that the Supreme Court did, which is very similar to what Republicans have done in a lot of their legislation, is they leave these murky spaces and places for people to really not know if they can challenge something, but that's going to lead to more challenges and more money spent, more time wasted, and more people being dragged into court. So, for example, if a predominantly white institution just happens to increase its Black enrollment by, say, like 0.5%, because the students were just qualified and met all of the standards, people are going to say that's affirmative action and drag these people into court. There's going to be more and more of that. And so really, at the end of the day, we all have to really show how committed we are to DEI and not leave it up to the courts to determine how much we can do that. And this is going to have to be a fight. As Justice Ketanji Jackson said, and I wanted to pull this up because it was important, she said that we can't ignore intergenerational transmission of inequality. I repeat, intergenerational transmission of inequality. And what she means by that is that these justices and Republicans and so on and so forth, they're basically talking about, oh, well, now America's colorblind because we said by law, America's colorblind. Law doesn't change history. Law doesn't change what's happening right now in our society. And what Justice Brown Jackson was saying and Sotomayor was saying, you can't just think you're going to just write this by decree and everything's going to go away because there's history, there's centuries of racism in this country, of systemic racism in this country. And just because you may say something goes away doesn't ignore all of that. What these justices want to do, Roberts and the like, is they want to say that we need to be colorblind, but not fix the problems, not remedy the problems that brought us to where we are today. They want to say that you can't have race-based admissions or race-based policies, but ignore how racism has played a factor in everything America has done. As Julian Bond said, when you flip the words in America around, it literally spells out I am race. This is why I wrote the book Lies About Black People, How to Combat Racist Stereotypes and Why It Matters. Right now, we need everybody in our legal teams and professions to get out there and file. We need to bring more cases to the Supreme Court that challenge this. We need to make sure that the schools that claim to be about DEI are really about that. The corporations really start looking at the policies and practices. And one of the things that's frustrating about the Biden administration and the Department of Education is that, you know, they say we're looking at it, we're looking at this, we're looking at things that we can do around this decision. But Republicans, when it comes to Roe v. Wade and all of these other issues, they already have the policy in place that they're going to introduce once the law gets enacted or once something gets struck down. They have. And so how long is it going to take for the Biden administration and the Department of Education to come up with policies? And they knew this was coming. Was there at least a template of what was going to be done at this particular time? And, you know, my daughter's going into the college admissions process this year. She's going to be a senior. And so these are things that we all have to be mindful of. And once again, I kind of see that the Democrats are a little bit behind the ball as it relates to this and are too reactionary. We all knew this was coming. What was the plan? There should have already been a plan in place to roll out tomorrow. And so I'm glad that lawyers and civil rights groups and organizations are meeting. It's really important. But really, at the end of the day, there were some ball dropping that happened that is going to allow us to take longer to get prepared for this. And one of the other things that's important to understand is that we cannot turn this into have any type of backlash directed towards the Asian community on some low-level COVID type thing that they were experiencing. There are many Asian students, many Asian people, many Asian-based civil rights groups that are against this ruling. Yes, there are several who are for it, and there were Asians who brought this forward, but the Asian community, just like the Black community, it's not a monolith. And so we can't just sit here and say that this is what all of them want. We need to work together in solidarity as partners to really continue to fight this. And really, at the end of the day, I will say this in closing. Affirmative action has always existed in this country for white people from day one. Dr. King talked about plots of land that European settlers were given when they got here. You know, as the book talks about, when affirmative action was white, there have always been policies in place. And when you look at legacy admission, which these schools, many schools still have not gotten rid of, that's another form of affirmative action. So some people are clear to say affirmative action may have ended for Black and brown people there, but not for white people of means who have had people attend these universities like Harvard before. So the fight continues. This is disappointing, but expected. And at the end of the day, if we don't continue to stay vigorous about this, vigilant about this, we have no one to blame but ourselves. The fact of the matter is we should have never allowed Trump to be elected to get in office and be able to put three Supreme Court justices on the bench, even though this is a man who said in 2015 that he supports affirmative action. But, you know, this is about power grabs for all of them. And to white people out there, we have to understand that it's just a matter of time before the policies that target Black and brown people affect you as well. In Florida, many white people didn't speak up about Ron DeSantis and his work. And then they started to see that in his anger and childlike behavior, he was saying things like, we're going to get rid of AP courses and the like. So now, you know, white families have to worry about whether their AP courses are going to count. Wisconsin is not a Black state, but if they remove millions of dollars in funding from university systems there, I believe there are 13 schools that are there, that's higher tuition raises and for those majority white students who are there, and lack of resources, not to mention the fact of just not being in a diverse community in the first place. And so people have to realize at the end of the day, these policies, look, affirmative action primarily has benefited white women more than anybody. We can go into a deeper conversation about that. But this is a time of in our lives right now when nobody can just sit idly by and watch these things happen and just think that it's not going to affect them in some way, shape, or form. And I will tell you, as face to the white women out there, this is a case affecting race, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be a case affecting gender that's going to make it to the court one day as well. So let's get in the fight now. If you're already in the fight, let's continue to fight. Let's see how we can up it. If you don't understand the lies and stereotypes that are told about Black people, that's why I wrote the book, Lies About Black People. And you can definitely, you know, check that out. It's in stores now. But at the end of the day, the fight continues, the struggle continues, and we in this country who have been in the fight for civil rights and equal rights, our ancestors have been through worse, and they built us for this fight. We cannot quit. To the students, you got to remember, no matter how you get into a university, you got to take the same test to get out. So keep persevering, keep doing your thing. We got your back, and we will win if we do not give in. Peace.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.